Welcome to the Cryptid Corner, the podcast where we discuss some of your favorite tales, cryptids, monsters, and more, and exactly how they came to be what we know them as today. As always, I'm your host, Casey. This week, we're just going to jump right in, save the announcement stuff for the end. We're going to be discussing this week a creature that's kind of like a chimeric race with a half-goat, half-human characteristics, with horns, hairy legs, and hooves, and a twitchy tail. And they might not sound like the loveliest creatures, but they have like their own undeniable charm. We're going to be talking about fawns. A lot of people can't help but, you know, kind of love the idea of the way their faces look with their, you know, goat-like cute appearance or whatever, but they combine like pointy ears and a head full of like woolly curls and youthful features like sparkling eyes and a roguish smile. Like, and these fawns are known to be like really charismatic creatures, and they love to party. Above the waist, these woodland creatures have the handsome like male bodies with lithe limbs, but below the waist they have two goat legs, which makes them extremely nimble dancers. While they're not especially fond of clothing, they do like to like adorn themselves with crowns of leaves and berries and things from like their woodland homes, especially before they have a legendary party like they're known to do. Their special abilities are they're merry creatures, and they have a talent for brightening the hearts of others. If you're like waylaid by a group of them or something, you can be sure that you're not going to get away anytime soon, because they like to get carried away. These little creatures will lure you into their festivities with their dancing, jokes, and delicious food. So they're pretty much like party animals in every sense of the word. Of course, they're best known for their flute playing. With just a small wooden flute, they can hypnotize you with fantastic melodies. Hardly anyone can resist fawn with a flute. And in truth, the power of their flutes has led some of them to act up, luring travelers into the forest where they get lost, or stealing the hearts of beautiful maidens away from the rest of the world. Now, the description you might be thinking, like, fawns are really, really similar to pans and satyrs. Like in the Greek culture, fawns are associated with Pan, like the god of shepherds, mountain wilds, meadowlands, wooded groves, fertility, and rustic music. They join Pan in his merrymaking and act as his servants while if he needs aid or anything. And in return, Pan gifted them with his trademark musical instrument, the Pan flute. Like many Greek gods, Pan was eventually handed down to like the Roman culture under a new name, Faunius. His troop of fawns made his transition with him. Fawns and satyrs are commonly confused because they have some striking similarities in appearance and in personality as well. However, they are separate creatures. Satyrs are followers of Dionysus, the god of the harvest, winemaking, and ecstasy. Like fawns, they love music, women, and parties, but they are far less innocent than like they're like lighthearted cousins, you could say. Satyrs are crafty creatures, and they can be downright destructive when they are bent on enjoying themselves, no matter what the cost. They're also less physically charming than like the fawn is said to be. Their faces are a little less human, and their lower bodies are mightier, more like a horse and a donkey, than like a harmless furry goat. We'll talk some more about like the Greek and Roman mythology when it comes to Pan and satyrs and fawns after this break. Welcome back to the Cryptic Corner. Fawns were popular characters in both Greek and Roman mythologies. They are mentioned in ancient texts, and the ancient texts that describe like the gods' grandest parties, and they are frequently written into and encourage like the lovers who pursue nymphs. For example, they follow in the march of Bacchus, I don't know if I said that right, it's B-A-C-C-H-U-S. He's a half-god who wandered the earth teaching men how to cultivate vineyards before making his glorious march home to Greece. And in the myth of I can't say this one either, it's V-E-R-T-U-M-N-U-S, of Vertumnus and Poma, which is P-O-M-O-N-A. They are competitors against the V-E-R-T-U-M-N-U-S. Excuse me. I'm going to butcher this if I try to pronounce her again. But, yeah, so in the story, they were, like, competitors for this beautiful woman's heart. But during the Hellenistic period, the mythical revelers became popular models for statues. And some of these statues, they are portrayed without any goat-like features, appearing soft, romantic young men with flutes or beautiful women. The most famous of these statues is the Barberini Faun, which shows a young, handsome man exhausted after a long party, which kind of, you know, perfectly fits the description of fauns. The Romantic period. In the Romantic period, like, the fauns were revitalized during that time when fairies gained wild popularity. They were separated from the old Greek old gods of Greek and Roman mythology and became independent magical creatures of the forest. One of the Romantic period's most famous authors, Nathaniel Hawthorne, noted to the mythical creatures with his acclaimed novel, The Marble Faun. There's been more modern appearances too, and remarkably, the fauns have changed very little since their early Greek play days to their appearance in the modern literature, although they seem to have gotten out from under Pan's thumb. They still have the same rustic, charming appearance, fun-loving temper, and musical talent. In Guillermo del Toro's 2006 Pan's Labyrinth, a faun guides the film's protagonist Ophelia to a series of tasks which led her to a wondrous netherworld. Dawn. In Rick Riordan's Riordan's The Son of Neptune in 2011, he's a faun. In the book, several fauns appear begging for money. Due to the memory of the Greek satyrs, Percy Jackson feels like there should be more to fauns than just that. Also, in the prequel to The Son of Neptune, Lost Hero, Jason Grace calls Gleason Hedge a faun upon learning that he is a satyr. In the third installment of the series, The Mark of Athena, Frank Zhang calls Hedge a faun. And The Goddess Within is a visionary novel written by Ivan Kanaz. The main heroine falls in love with a faun in that story. And a game I played as a kid actually is in the Spyro the Dragon series. Those games, Alora is a faun from Avalar who keeps Spyro helps Spyro the Dragon navigate the world in that game. So, from what we talked about today, we can tell, like, how tied in that satyrs and pans are with fauns. So I'm not sure if they'll ever get their own independent, episodes here at the Cryptic Corner or not. I'm sure they will. But, that's all we have for fauns today. Just a reminder that the Cryptic merch store is still up and going. We're looking, adding some new designs to that fairly soon. Also, for any new listeners, every week, on the Cryptic Corner Facebook, which, you know, you can find us at Facebook at the Cryptic Corner, I post a photo album that is titled with the week's name for the episode, or with the episode number as well, so that way there's kind of like some pictures to go along with what we discussed for the week or for the episodes that are coming and whatnot. So you can find those there at the Cryptic Corner on Facebook. That's all we have, guys. Once again, I've been your host, Casey. Stay creepy.